If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 3, and follow along as I read beginning at verse 7. Hebrews 3 and 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take courage, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For if we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, clearly what you have written, what you have said. It is your word. May we handle it accurately, communicate it clearly, so that when we leave here, we will be challenged, we will be encouraged by your word. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we finished last week, the end of verse 6 says, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. You may remember I told you that's not suggesting that there's in any way anything we could have done to earn our salvation, nothing, anything we can do to secure our salvation, but rather those phrases speak to the reality of our salvation because of the finished work of Christ. Because we have recognized him as Savior and Lord, we hold fast our confidence and we boast of our hope. Because our confidence is in Christ, our hope is in Christ, and we can do that firm until the end. Therefore, verse 7 says, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice. A reminder, subtle, but a reminder that we are reading, we are hearing the very word of God. So whatever follows, we need to pay close attention. Just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice. This is why when we begin, whether it's on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, whether it's in children's church, whether wherever it is we teach, we begin here with the Word of God because this is the sole authority for our faith and practice. So we listen to what He has to say. Today we want to hear His voice. And to begin with, he challenges us with this simple statement, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Remember that story? God chose Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. But first there was the battle with Pharaoh. God won. But then there was the Red Sea. And in the book of Exodus, the way Moses describes that, he says, with their backs to the sea, Israel, with their backs to the sea, they can see Pharaoh and his army following, and they turn to Moses and they say, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? He gets them safely across the water on dry land and watch as God destroys Pharaoh and his army. Within days, 1.5 million people are running out of water. So what do? They go to Moses and they say, Moses, did you bring us out here in this desert only for us to die of thirst? What does God do? Provides them a river of water out of a rock. Why? Because he's God, and he can do that. Not long after, similar complaint because they were hungry. What does God do? Gives them manna. And I think sometimes we forget, you know, in all the luxuries and all that we have, the significance of the fact that God gave, again, 1.5 million people fresh food every day. Now, there was a caveat with that. All you get is enough for today. Don't try saving it, because it won't last. Unless you pick up twice as much on the sixth day, because I'm not sending any on the seventh day. That will last. Because on the first day of the week, I'm going to send you plenty more. But only enough for that day. Who does that? God does. Why? Because he's taken this 1.5 million people out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, and he's moving them in the direction of the land that he promised to Abraham, their father. In weeks, they get to Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, they get the law. They get the blueprint for the tabernacle. In 3 months, they're building the tabernacle. But in all of this, their hearts are getting hard because at every turn, they need to be reminded again of who God is and that he's in charge. And my friends, it would be so easy to look at that and think, how in the world did they get there? They saw God empower Moses to go face to face with the most powerful ruler of the world and win. He made a path through the Red Sea, dry, for them to walk across, only to bring it together again to destroy an army. He provided water. He provided food. He provided law so that they would know how they could deal with him and how they could deal with one another. And still they wondered. how could they be so? Oh, yeah. I'm like that from time to time. Verse 8, remember the day of trial. Were they so foolish as to think trials weren't going to come? Challenges? Are we so foolish as to think that even as God's children, no trials are going to come, no challenges will come? That's foolish. They're coming. And then verse 9, did you see my works? Were you paying attention when I took care of that? You've heard me, most of you have heard me say from time to time, I'm not a good historian. It's my way of saying I don't always remember exactly when things happened. Another friend told me, not only that, Dan, you don't take very good notes. In other words, you don't always learn the lessons the first time. Sometimes you've got to learn them again. You see, I'm no better than they were. I maybe haven't faced the same trials, but they haven't faced the trials. They didn't face the trials I have. But I've seen God work over and over again in my life, in your lives. But remember, here's the challenge. Don't let it harden your heart. When you have a challenge and God meets it, start to think, oh, when I have a challenge, God will meet it. Instead of instantly thinking, oh, is this where I'm going to cash in? Am I going to die of thirst? Am I going to die of hunger? Were there no graves in Egypt? Do not harden your heart. Verse 10, therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Shortly after they left Mount Sinai, Moses chose 12 spies to go into the land to check it out. All 12 of them came back excited about everything that they saw. It was exactly what God had promised. But 10 of them said, we can't go. It's too well protected. The cities are too well fortified. The warriors are too big. They're too well armed. We can't do it. Despite everything that's gone on in the months previous, we can't do that. The people assume defeat. And they even said to Moses, would that we had died in Egypt. I would have rather died as a slave in Egypt. Think about this. I would have rather died as a slave in Egypt than die in a battle for a land that I've already been promised. And they endured as a result God's judgment. They shall not enter my rest. Why? Verse 10, because they didn't know my ways. They weren't good historians. They didn't take good notes. They weren't paying attention to what God was doing. As a result, a whole generation didn't get to go into Canaan. But that's not where the story ends. Because you know, there were other men who didn't get to go in because of sin. But we don't question their salvation and we don't question their usefulness, like Moses. Moses sinned and God said, because of that, you don't get to go into the land. Did Moses quit right then? Quit serving? Can't go into the land? I'm not going to listen anymore? No. No. He repented. He was forgiven, but there were still consequences for that choice that he made, so he didn't get to go into the land. He learned his lesson. He continued to serve God. So that rest, for Moses it was Canaan, but he continued to obey. And there's the rest of obedience, living faithfully, which Moses did. So he was a recipient of that rest. And even for you and me, there may be consequences to the choices that we make from time to time. But that doesn't mean that we can't continue to be useful. Do not harden your hearts. Instead, encourage one another. What's at stake? Verse 12, take care, brethren, that there not be any of you, in any of you, an evil heart, unbelieving, that falls away from the living God. Again, don't harden your hearts. Be careful. The remedy to this, verse 13, encourage one another. And I love this. Encourage one another day after day, as long as this is still called a day, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, encourage one another often, day after day. Encourage one another often while you still can. While it's today, while you still can, encourage one another. The result or the proof? For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Ten of those spies said, you know, the land is great, it's bountiful, it's everything God promised, but two of those spies said, yes, the land is great. It's everything God promised. Let's go get it. Because God promised it to us. You see, Caleb and Joshua had taken good notes. They'd been listening. They'd been learning the lessons. They realized that if God promised something, he would deliver it. They took that assurance and held it firmly until the end, because just like the last part of verse 6, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end, just like that, this is proof of the reality. They had been trusting God all along, and they believed they could continue to trust him, because they'd placed their trust in him. So the challenge comes again three times in this passage, but comes again in verse 15. Do not harden your hearts. Trials come. Learn the lessons. Keep your heart pliable to what God wants to do in your life and in the lives of others. Do not harden your hearts like those who were disobedient. So again, I need to know what God's word says. I need to know what God, remember what God has done. I need to know his ways. And I need to live obediently to him. Because otherwise I will never be able to enter that rest because of unbelief. And again, this is not necessarily talking about salvation, although it could be. You could hear the gospel over and over again and never respond positively to it. That happens. They hear it and they hear it, and their hearts get harder and harder, and they don't respond. But it's also possible for us to be truly born again. Our faith is in Christ and in Christ alone. And never fully appreciate what that means. Never truly rest in the fact that He's in control, that He's directing my life, that when trials come, with His help, I can overcome them. Never understanding the rest, the confidence that I can have in Him. That's the result of obedience. Do not harden your hearts. Encourage one another. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, so that whatever my need is, I can see the need and the answer reflected in your word. I know from personal experience that it's really easy to forget how good you are, how faithful you are, how compassionate you are, how merciful, how graceful you are. It's so easy. And in a moment, feel alone and angry and forgotten, when in fact, that just can't happen. I am never alone, and you have never forgotten me. May our hearts remain pliable in your hands. And with the lessons that you teach us, may we encourage one another often while we can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.